just want to read from Colossians 3, just going to read verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Well, I said at the beginning of the service, we're into week 3 of our series on whole life worship. And our focus really is thinking about how does Sunday mornings relate to our whole life of worship. In our home groups, I think last year, we were looking at our front lines and how we worship on our front lines. Now, front line, it's not a flea powder. Front line is basically where you find yourself most of the week, what you're doing, where you're working, where you're meeting people. That's your front line. So this is kind of redressing the balance and looking at what is Sundays all about? What is our worship on Sundays all about? So worship isn't, and I hope you understand this, Ned, worship isn't just about singing songs and praying prayers when we get together on a Sunday morning. It's about our whole life. So what do we mean by that? Are we expected to sing worship songs as we stand in the queue at the supermarket or open a business meeting with a word of prayer? Well, you can do that. That'd be really great. But that's kind of missing the point, really. That's not really what whole life worship is about. Over the last 2 weeks, we've looked at how we express our enjoyment in praise and how praising, how speaking out and singing out completes and increases our enjoyment. I was so pleased to hear Frank when you said about singing God's praises was just as enjoyable as singing Liverpool's praises. That kind of proves my point, what I was saying that first week. We praise things that we enjoy, and actually our enjoyment is completed by our praising, our singing praises. So it's not just in Christian worship that happens, it's whatever we worship, that's going to happen. And then last week, Keith was talking about having a bigger vision, having God's vision, beginning to see things through God's eyes. Well, this week, there's three things I particularly want to address. And that's firstly, our identity, who we are, our motivation, why we can, and our situation, wherever we are. Well, the passage I read this morning began with the word therefore. Now, if you were here 2 weeks ago, I said something about that word. Anybody here from 2 weeks ago remember what I said about? I'm going to say it again. When you see the word therefore, you have to ask, what is it there for? So, asking today, what is therefore? Well, if you read chapters 1 to 3 of Colossians, you'll find that Paul's reminding the Colossian Christians who they are. He knows that the Christians in Colossae are facing many religious and philosophical options. If Jesus is Lord, if Jesus is Creator, if Jesus is Sustainer, if Jesus is Redeemer, then all other teachings have to give way. All people must bow at his feet. So he reminds them in chapter 3, verse 1, since you have been raised with the Anointed One, the liberating King, set your mind on things above. Stay focused on what's above, not on earthly things. Because your old life is dead and gone. Your new life is now hidden, enmeshed with the Anointed One. They had a new identity. I'm my parents' child. Bit of an obvious thing to say, isn't it? I have similar physical similarities both to my father and to my mother, some of which I thank them for, some of which I don't. I have other similarities to my parents too. My love of music, my creativity, I can see that both from with my mother and my father. But then I've got other things that I can see in my parents that I've got that I'm not too proud of. I am my parents' child, but that's not my identity. I trained as a nurse, as a midwife, and I used to wear a uniform. But that wasn't my identity. I'm a choir leader, I'm a worship leader, I'm a church leader. But that's not my identity. Take all of that away and what is left? I am a child of God. Paul says to the Colossian Christians, you've been raised with Christ. Your old life has gone. Set your heart on things above. And then he goes on to talk about the behaviour that's becoming for a child of God. He tells them to rid themselves of things, rid themselves of anger, malice, slander, filthy language. Don't lie to each other. Because you have a new identity which is being renewed in the image of its creator. You are being renewed in the image of God. Let me say that again. You are being renewed in the image of God. Perhaps you'd like to speak that out and say, I am being renewed. I am being renewed in the image of God. And there we have it. That's why Paul goes on to say, therefore, as God's chosen people, as a child of God, as someone who's been raised with Christ, as someone who's put off the old life, as someone who's been renewed in the image of God, therefore, clothe yourselves with a holy way of life. It's a choice. It's intentional. It's a response to God's mercy and grace. It's recognizing where your identity is, where your identity lies, having confidence in God. For Paul, it isn't just enough to believe the right things. Right belief always produces right living. The gift of salvation demands that we put into practice the character of our King. Just as we take off and throw off old clothes, we must strip off certain attitudes and actions of our old selves since our lives have been made new in Him. But it's not just enough to strip off the old. We'd get pretty cold if we didn't put anything new on. And that new creation has many qualities of Jesus. Compassion, gentleness, humility, putting up with each other, forgiving each other, and above all, loving each other. These are the ways of Jesus, and they're to be our ways too. And our motivation is we can have confidence in God. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the rule of the Anointed One richly inhabit your lives. Sounds good. How do we do that? Well, he tells us to be thankful. I want to tell you a story that I'm sure I've told here several times. a good few years ago now, there used to be in Swindon some prayer meetings that were praying for the town. And a group of us used to go along, and they invited various speakers. And this particular evening, they'd invited this gentleman called Mike Bream, who's now in America. But he was talking to us about an experience he'd had going to Nigeria. He'd gone to be part of the ministering group, but actually, when he got there, he got really, really ill, and he ended up in hospital and fighting for his life, and he was extremely ill. And the rest of the team had gone off without him. They'd left him in this hospital. And you can imagine in Nigeria, it was rural Nigeria, so it wasn't one of the posh city hospitals. He was lying on this bed, feeling really, really sorry for him, and talking to God, saying, "What is this all about? I came here to do ministry. I came here to do your work, and here I am, flat on my back, fighting for my life, not sure if I'm going to get home. What is going on?" And he heard God say to him, "Give thanks." You can imagine what he thought. "What? Give thanks for what?" And the voice said to him, "Everything." And it took him a while, but he started to give thanks, and he thought, "Well, I'll start with the things that I can be thankful for." There was a nurse there who was coming every half an hour or so just to see how he was. So he started giving thanks for her. "Oh, thank you, Lord, for this move." And then he thought, "Well, come on, let's go for it." So he started thanking God that actually he was still alive, thanking God that there was somewhere he was lying on a proper bed, because there were people in the hospital who were lying on the floor. And he started thanking God for the bedpan. He started thanking God for the medication. He started thanking God for the stars outside. And as he got going, he just came to life. And he was thanking God for absolutely everything. Well, when the nurse came in the morning, she was absolutely astounded. He was so much better. I mean, they thought he was going to die that night. But in the morning, he was so much better. And in fact, he joined the ministry team, and that's another story. But give thanks. God has given us so much. We just don't realise, particularly over here in the West, we just don't realise just how much we have. We need to give thanks. And how else can we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts? Well, by teaching one another, instructing one another, singing together. This is all in the passage there. Singing songs, singing psalms, with hearts full and spilling over with gratitude. The gratitude that completes our enjoyment of God. Our worship together, particularly on a Sunday morning, our worship together is an overflow of our new life in Christ. We're learning a new story of the world and our place in it. And we hear a new word spoken to us in songs and psalms, as we sing to one another, as we learn from each other. By understanding and being motivated by gratitude, by understanding our identity and that we are a child of God, being motivated by gratitude, thankfulness, and the encouragement and teaching, instruction of others, we can worship wherever we are. Wherever we find ourselves. Because our attitudes changed. I think it was Mike Breen who was maybe one of the first people I heard talk about an attitude of gratitude. That's what we need with our new life. Everything's changed. Whatever we do, whether it's at work, at home, in the local shop, we can do in the name of Jesus and to the glory of God the Father. Surely no matter what you are doing, whether it's speaking, writing, working, and do it all in the name of Jesus, our Master, sending thanks through him to God the Father. Graham Cray, in his book In Spirit and Truth, says this: worship is where above all we proclaim our priorities and are formed by the Spirit through what we proclaim, and perhaps especially by what we sing. Worship is where we proclaim our priorities. Whatever we're doing, whatever our title is or is not, whoever our parents are, doesn't define who we are. We are a child of God, and therefore our lives demonstrate our identity as we worship with all that we have, with all that we are, in whatever situation we find ourselves, doing everything for the glory of God. We encourage one another when we meet together with teaching, instruction, singing, our praying, our 1 minute stories, encouraging each other with what God is up to and how he's changing and transforming us. Just invite you for a minute, just look at your hands. Just have a look at your hands. Turn them over and have a look at them from every angle. What do you notice? Are your hands smooth? Rough? Large? Small? Warm? Cold?
Or with a scar like I've got.
Yeah, have you got scars? What do they remind you of?
Oh, they reminded me that I might have had cancer, but it was found I haven't.
Perhaps you're wearing jewellery. Are there memories attached to rings, bracelets, watches? Now think through an ordinary day. And just think about all the things you do with your hands. From turning off the alarm clock in the morning or switching the bedside lamp on at night. Just draw to mind all the things that you do with your hands, the things that you use your hands for. Now just spend a moment thanking God for the good things that you've remembered. Thank God for the material provision, for family members, for filling work, spare time activities. I invite you to close your hands into fists. We read in Colossians 3 that whatever we do, whether in word or deed, we are to do in Jesus' name, giving thanks to the Father. Let's just spend a moment considering how we use our hands in ways that are not glorifying to God. Perhaps these are things that weigh us down with guilt, regret, words typed, grasping for what is not ours, or indulging our own desires. Or perhaps ours is more a sin of omission, of holding our hands tightly shut when we should be generous with love or possessions. Our God of mercy invites you to bring these things before him in confession. I invite you now to open up your fists. Turn your hands with your palms up as if receiving a gift. By Christ's death on the cross, God forgives your sin when you confess it to him. Receive his forgiveness and freedom from guilt. With your hands still open, what might you be able to offer back? Are there things in your daily life that can be done more purposefully for God? Can you imagine your daily tasks as being offered as worship to him? Let's pray. Father, you created us to do good and to bring glory to you. Now take all that we are, our words, our deeds, and the work of our hands, and use them as we live as people of your kingdom and for your praise and honour. In the name of Christ. Amen. Now just thinking about some of the things that we've brought this morning, and if you didn't put something on the table, obviously you're thinking about your day-to-day. Just look or focus on your item and ask God to reveal how you might glorify him in its use. And I was so encouraged as people came up. They were already talking about how what they had, what they brought, reminds them of God and his love. To come and collect your items in a minute, but I just want to remind you that they don't represent your identity. You're a child of God, so when you take your item back, take it back with a reminder of who you are. Perhaps you'd like to come up and get them there. And as we finish this morning, I want to finish with a song that is sending us out with a real buzz. I could probably think of a more appropriate word if I thought hard about it. But as we go out, we're not leaving our place of worship. We are continuing in our place of worship. And throughout the whole week, let's remember that we are children of God, and that all that we do, all that we say, all that we think is about bringing glory to him, about seeing Jesus in the world. So we're going to sing the song, "We Want to See Jesus Lifted High," a banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know he is the way to heaven. Well, in some ways, the banner that people are going to see is going to be you. You and me. We're going to be the banner that shows the people that we meet who Jesus is.